You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up later in the show, Casey Keller and Hercules Gomez here to reflect on the Portland Timbers winning the MLS Is Back tournament. But there's only one place, really, isn't there, to start today's show, and that's by talking about PSG booking a place in the Champions League semi-finals with a 2-1 win over Atalanta. But boy, did they make hard work of it. 1-0 down for much of the game. The two goals, though, coming in injury time, enough to see Thomas Tuchel's side through. Don Hutchinson, Frank Leboeuf, and Craig Burley with us. Craig, just overall, this was such a tense game.
Yeah, it was a great game. It's what the Champions League quarterfinals is all about. I don't agree with the one game knockout. It is because of the pandemic, but you know, we have the two games knockout for a reason, that it gives the other team a chance to come back. But I suppose in some sense it made it even more tense because everything was on the line tonight. But I said on yesterday's show, I think when you took all those names out of the PSG team sheet and you left Mbappe on the bench because of the fitness, when Atalanta looked at it, they would have thought, no fear. Really no fear playing this PSG side, because it was only Neymar that was carrying them. But boy, they came so close. Little old Atalanta, who have been absolutely magnificent this season, but they're out on their feet at the end. And in some sense, the changes came for Tuchel's side, and that was enough, but it was pretty desperate near the end.
What a difference 6 minutes makes, pretty much, Frank, in football, because with Atalanta, with that lead going into injury time, you just can't imagine the headlines from L'Équipe and others around the world, yet those two goals just changed the whole rhetoric.
Yeah, it would have been a nightmare in France tomorrow for the Parisians to read the newspapers or watch TV, because they've done everything to be hammered at the end of the game, but they came back and they got the win by some luck, by details. Remember that Navas has to be substituted by Rico, but it takes so long, so much time that Tuchel puts Choupo-Moting in at the same time that he puts Rico on, and they would have changed at the first place Rico. It wouldn't have allowed Choupo-Moting to come in and to score the winning goal. So that's football. That's the craziness of football. But overall, I don't know who deserved to win that game, because I think Atalanta did what they had to do. As Craig said, with no fear, with all the talent that they showed this season. But they started to be scared when Mbappe came in and started to drop and didn't play like Atalanta used to play. But at the end, the other side, Neymar has a great chance very soon, early in the game. Then another chance in the first half with his left foot, and it seemed to me that nothing will go right for the Paris Saint-Germain until the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of that game. It was an exciting game. It was a fantastic game. It wasn't a perfect game, but football, if it's perfect, is boring. And we love mistakes, we love tactics, different tactics, and it's what we had today. And at the end of the day, you know, Paris Saint-Germain go through. I don't know if they deserve it. And Atalanta will go back to Italy. That's football.
It is indeed. How on earth do we assess Neymar's performance in this game, Don?
I thought he was brilliant, Dan. I really did. I thought his build-up play until he got into the 18-yard box, I thought he was sensational. You know, his finishing was obviously way off tonight. He missed a really bad chance in the first half. But I didn't see a Neymar that sort of caved in. And normally over the years, when it's not going right for Neymar, he tends to then look around and blame everyone else. I saw a different guy in Neymar tonight, where he carried the fight on right until the end. He won't get credit here for the assist for the last goal, but he played a brilliant pass to Mbappe, who then squared it for Choupo-Moting's tap-in. But I saw a player and I saw a performance in there, Dan, and I thought was quite exceptional, apart from the finishing. Now, people will say he missed easy chances, and that's factual, so you can levy that at him. But I just saw a fight in him. I saw someone that's desperate to win the Champions League. I saw a player that was desperate for his team, and that's the most important thing. When you look at PSG, and we all talk about PSG being individuals, I saw something in the team tonight, but more so in Neymar.
I get a feeling, Dan, if PSG had gone out tonight, you were ready for a Neymar bashing.
Well, not necessarily. The weird thing is, because he was brilliant, he was the only one in PSG who really did anything.
No.
But then you expect the most expensive player in the world to be able to score those opportunities that he had.
I get where Don's coming from. I wouldn't say ultimately brilliant, but, you know, we can criticise his finishing in the final third. But I agree with Don in some sense. He just kept plugging away. And some of the things he did in the first half were excellent. Clearly, the finishing was poor. But you could have thrown that mud at Mbappe when he came on, albeit he's not fit. The finishing wasn't quite there. He was through one-on-one on the left foot, and he waited and waited. The one thing I would say, and this all sort of turns on its head now because PSG won, was Neymar apart, name me another PSG player in the first 45 minutes that did anything. And I mean anything. And you're going
Navas.
To struggle. Navas. But, you know, and what happened was when he went through and he missed those chances, it was poor. But the one that he went through on the left-hand side and he tried to square it for Icardi did nothing for him.
He looked way off Craig,
didn't he? No movement.
Huh? Icardi looked way off it, him and Sarabia.
Yeah, he never even made a run down for Neymar when he went through. And I thought they were so poor. And Atalanta did what Atalanta do. Whenever PSG had the ball and tried to play out, they got three or four players and they pressed. And they got three or four of those blue jerseys around the ball and they swarmed it. That's what they do. But in some sense, what they do well is also their Achilles heel. Because when they did pop it around them with a quick pass and then launched it in behind, they were caught wide open. And as Frank said in the open, they went away from that as the game wore on because it was getting later in the game and then they were bringing the big hitters on. And the fear was that 40 yards of space in behind for Mbappe to run into because you know it's going to happen. And so it was only natural, Dan, that they dropped into those deeper areas. And once you drop into the penalty box and once you give up that possession and your forward guys get tired, then it becomes a battle until the end. And they couldn't quite get it done.
That's the difficulty, Dan. When you look at how the game was going for Gasperini, he wasn't trying to hold on towards the last half an hour of the game. He actually put Muriel on up front with Zapata. So he actually sort of semi-went for it because he knew if he just dropped off and gave Neymar license and he gave Mbappe to get in behind, that we're going to cause trouble. So they were sort of semi-going for it. And we've all played the game. And the dynamics of the game, once you start looking at that clock and you're Atalanta and you see you're 5 minutes away from a win, there's no way then you're going to try and attack for the second. You're then going to go into your defensive shape and you're just going to try and hang on. It's the dynamics of the game. It happens and I feel desperately sorry for them.
Yeah, that I agree with you guys, and it's not only Gasperini who decided that; it's also the dynamic, as you said, Don, of the game, where the fatigue and also the fear of the 40 yards behind them pushed them to draw back. And I said that because I think I felt it that they wanted to conserve the goal and not to score another one, and because they were so scared of being caught in counter attack. But I want to go back to Neymar. As a former defender, if you are a defender and you make 45 minutes where you save everything, that you're absolutely fantastic, but you make two huge mistakes, what the people are going to say? That you are crap. That you put your team down. Now go back to Neymar. Neymar I had a great investment in the game during the first half. But why do we pay in Paris Saint-Germain Neymar? Why we hired Neymar in Paris Saint-Germain? Because we want him to make a difference. When he's in front of the goal, after 6 minutes, he has to finish the job. Ronaldo will have finished the job. Messi will have finished the job. We expect Neymar to finish the job. Yes, he had a good 45 minutes taking on players. But do we pay Neymar to take on players or to score goals and to make a difference? He didn't do the difference, so therefore, I'm sorry if I have to make a statement, Neymar wasn't good during the first half. He did
but Frank,
do.
Who else on the pitch, Frank? Who else on the pitch could have provided that ball for Mbappe to then cross to Choupo-Moting for the tap-in? It was only Neymar that could ever provide that pass for PSG.
Yeah, but that's what we expect from him. I mean, it's something he's able to do, and it's why we hire him. It's why the club pays him so much. But it's only what I expect from him. We know that something can happen fantastically from Neymar because he's a fantastic player. But we have to make a statement. Did he do what he had to do the first half? No, because he missed clear chances. Not only the first one, but with the left foot. Do you expect that from Messi and Ronaldo? Would you have said that they are fantastic if they missed clear chances like that? And it's just a question mark. And would you do the same? Would you say the same thing from defenders if they would have done the same mistakes defensively? No, you would have said, no, they're very bad.
But that, you know, when you miss a chance, Frank, it's poor finishing. When defenders make a mistake, it's just awful. You know that. It's a bit like a goal.
That's it. That is what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that.
Well, yes. Well, it's a bit like a goalkeeper, isn't it? You know, a goalie makes one mistake, he's on the back page, and, you know, a striker misses five chances, and it's, well, he'll score the next one. Here's the deal, and we were talking about it before we came on air. And going back to that, we've bashed Neymar before, but at the end of the day, you're right. You should be scoring. These things happen. I just think the supporting cast was average. I mean, at best. And that first 45 wasn't until the big hitters come on, they're not quite fit. Mbappe and the rest, the other guys that come on, and I say big hitters, but it was just the changes, and things looked a little bit better. Let's go back to it. And listen, this is the draw. And Man City have the same at the weekend of Lyon, right? Not the big hitter of the Champions League. If this had been one of the big hitters tonight, and this is what Tuchel can thank his lucky stars for, they'd have been out. They'd have been out. So we may see a different PSG if he gets all his players back. We'll see. But the worry for me is, and this small budget of Atalanta and the huge budget of PSG, we saw what a real team looks like. With inferior players, with an inferior squad, with a hugely inferior budget, they had a purpose about them. They know what they do. PSG are reliant on individuals. And when individuals have an off night, PSG have an off night. That's the worry for them. And that's why I think Thomas Tuchel, at the moment, is riding the wave of some big hitters coming on and getting them over the line.
Craig makes a good point. If they're at the other side of the draw and you're up against what we've seen from a Bayern Munich or Manchester City, then PSG would be out, Frank. I don't think that's even a debate, is it, given what we saw in the 90 minutes today? Neymar aside, this is a team very, very average.
Yes, I totally agree. But like Barcelona with Messi or Ronaldo, or Juventus with Ronaldo, I mean, we have decided now to talk about statistics, to put individualities above a squad, and it's what that's the result of what we have nowadays, that we take every player and we judge them. When I see Atalanta, I feel football. I feel a team. I feel a squad. I feel a spirit. And it's what I love. But you have some players who are exceptional and can turn the game and change the game. It's what happened when Mbappe came tonight, with, of course, the power of Neymar, as Don explained with the last pass. But it's what we might see against with Barcelona, against Manchester City, with Messi. And that's what it is. But overall, we all love football because it's possible. Even if you have a low budget, if you have a low team, because of a spirit, because of a thought, of a tactic, to see something different. But Paris Saint-Germain have always been like that. It's all about money. It's a big circus. We all know about that. But they have inside fantastic players who can make the difference. I don't know where they can go to. I don't know if they can win the Champions League. I know that Bayern Munich is far above them right now, and I'm sure that City is above them right now, but they are on a good side of the table. They can be in final against Bayern Munich, and then we'll see. One game, everything's possible.
In some sense, Dan, it doesn't really matter. In some sense, it doesn't really matter. In another sense, it does. That makes sense. Barcelona are a similar case in point. It was a win against Napoli, but it was a struggle for long periods. And that's why we're saying, well, you know, if Messi et al. Have average night, can the rest stand up? I think we're looking at PSG in a similar light here. It wasn't great, clearly. It could have been out to Atalanta, which would have been a disaster for them, as good a little side as they are. But they got the job done. And listen, I'm sort of being, you know, hypocritical here because we've sort of criticised them, but they're through.
Yeah.
But the concern is, when you look at, you know, City and Bayern in particular, it's a much better and much more well-oiled outfit. The only upside for Tuchel, he can go into the press conference and he can go to his board and say, listen, this was a struggle because X, Y, and Z was out and, you know, Cavani's not here anymore and Mooney is not here anymore. And we'll have most of these guys, apart from those two, back, right? Then the expectations will be higher in the semi-finals. But the concern is whilst the individualism is great, in some sense, it is, again, their Achilles heel because they lack that team shape sometimes. And I think one of the real big boys, a City or a Bayern in particular, on a night like tonight, would have carved them open for fun.
I am sorry if I can add just one thing, Dan and Don, about Paris Saint-Germain. Don't forget that they only had two official games before that competition started.
Yeah.
I want to blame our government because the French government decided to not restart the competition. And when they restarted it with the French Cup and the League Cup, they put 5,000 people in the stand, where Berlin just said that they wouldn't put anybody in the stands anymore until October. So it's a real nonsense where I always said, go back to 2 months ago, if that they did finish the Champions League, that Paris Saint-Germain will struggle also physically because they don't have games in hands, because they lost maybe their some automatism. I don't know, but they have something that we have to put in count because they don't have the games that they needed to start a big competition like that too.
The flip side
he's
of
already,
that...
He's already getting his excuses in, Daniel. You know, he's blaming the French government. God knows if they go out what Julien Laurens will blame.
Just on that point, is the flip side of that, Frank, not that Atalanta had to complete their domestic season, had to play 12 extra games, and that showed today, certainly in the second half, where they just looked exhausted. PSG, of course, have had months to rest up and prepare pretty much for this actual game. Is that an excuse that you can offer Atalanta?
It's not, because the way they play, it's very demanding. And you expect to see them slowing down at some point because nobody, not human being, can play like that for 90 minutes. It's you have to make sure that you balance properly to make sure you can finish the game properly. So it's hard. And they always play like that. They've been very good, but it's an excuse also for Atalanta because it's a restart. The preparation was restarting season was really bad and very different than normally, where they had to train individually. So of course it's really demanding, but you know, I see Bayern, I see City, I see other teams who are maybe more prepared. They are very ready and up for finishing the season. Atalanta, they've been at the top and the maximum of their possibility for a season. So at some point, of course, they went down.
Dan, just quickly on that point. I think it was more of a hindrance for PSG. And I said that on the show yesterday. It was one of the reasons I felt Atalanta could win the game. I felt it was more of a hindrance for PSG, the lack of game time. I don't think, and it's only my opinion, I don't think Atalanta were tired because they finished the Italian season. I think they were tired at the end of the game as a product of the style of their play. And that means they play such a high tempo, pressing, squeezing the opposition, leaving space behind type of game that when it gets to 65, 70, 80 minutes, automatically, because of the way you play, the tiredness creeps in, then you have to make the substitution. So I think the fatigue that Atalanta clearly had at the end, for me, is a product of the way Gasperini has them playing rather than finishing the Serie A season.
Is it naive for me then, Don, to say, well, why didn't he just change the style? Because it was clear. It was clear what was going to happen when Mbappe came on. That ball kept going behind. Surely there should have been some sort of adaptation there to try and kind of...
Yeah, but it was already done, Dan.
Yeah.
It was already done.
Yeah.
They'd played an hour, before you go to Don. It's all very well saying, right, we'll go and sit back. But they'd taken an hour out of the legs right. by pressing already. And that's hard to reverse. Once you come out the traps and play like that, you know, it is difficult to reverse that tiredness. That's the point.
And also as well, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the Atalanta players in the last couple of minutes went down injured. Mm-hmm. And Gasperini had already made his five substitutions. So effectively, they were down to 10 men. So the passenger was just standing up front. I can't quite remember who it was. And they were trying to then just see the game out. So it's easy in hindsight to say Gasperini should change, but it's part of their style. It's part of why we love watching Atalanta, because he does things that no other manager would do. You know, when you're commentating on Atalanta, and I think I said it, you know, when you're guessing what substitution he's going to make, you know, and you're thinking, well, Zapata is absolutely shattered. Surely he's going to change Muriel for Zapata. He doesn't. He takes the midfield player off and puts Muriel up front to try and get that second goal. So he's a manager that does things completely off the cuff. And he's the manager at Gasperini that I think excites everyone and makes the neutral, I think, fall in love with Atalanta and how they play, because, you know, what a wonderful season they've had. I mean, they've got so far in the Champions League, and it could have been a little bit better, but for 5 or 6 minutes and a couple of worldly players for PSG. So I think when all is said and done and the dust will settle in a couple of days' time, I think we look back on how the Italian season went for Atalanta and the run they had in Europe and say, well done, they were absolutely brilliant.
Is Frank gone in the huff, Dan? Because
his camera went
to black there, and I think we're not praising PSG enough. And like a typical Frenchman, he said, I've gone in the... He's in the huff.
Craig, what's it like to play in a game like that where you've got like 20 minutes to go, you know that you have nothing left in the tank, you're trying to hold on? Because everyone in that Atalanta side must have been aware. Are you looking at the clock, just wanting it to go quickly?
Who, did you ask me that?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the 98 World Cup in the opening game against Brazil, because it was 1-1. We lost I won't go through the game, but it was 1-1 at half-time. And, you know, plenty of legs in the tank for the first 20 minutes or so of the second half, but clearly getting pegged back and it's hot, you know, and you know, you're just getting further and further back, and all the big stars and are getting on the ball, and Rivaldo and Ronaldo, and you're thinking, you're looking at the clock, you know, and you're just trying to see this thing out. And then, and, you know, I think it was like 12 minutes before the end, an unfortunate own goal, and your heart sinks, because you think, right, what's the chances of us creating a really good chance again against this Brazil side? And I get the feeling that's how Atalanta felt. I mean, they did have a chance at the end when Muriel was through, but he was very hesitant. And that was the real only chance. There was a chance at the back post 10 minutes before that, I think, to make it 2-0, 10, 15 minutes before that was sliced wide. But I think Atalanta, they knew in their heart of hearts that the chances of creating something else was difficult. And it is hard, because you're sat in there, you're watching the clock, you're trying to get over the line. You know, in a split second, an Mbappe or a Neymar can do something brilliant. And ultimately, that's what happened.
What's it like, Don?
It's exactly what Craig said. It's the thousands of pictures you've been taking when you've been playing football from an early age until you turn then professional. And when it's going well, and when you're winning fours and fives, the dynamics are just go forward, and you've got so much energy in your legs. But also, you've been scarred over the years as well, where, you know, you are taking a battering in terms of possession. And you have to give the ball up to the opposition, and you're giving the ball up to great players. So therefore, the only thing that you've got is to try and preserve something in your legs for a last-ditch tackle. You then don't want to run out of your position. If I'm playing central midfield alongside Craig, we wouldn't then bomb forward. We want to sit and protect our centre-half. So we then are not doing things that we normally are used to doing. So it's totally different. And then, of course, you've got the clock that's running down, and when you're hanging on, it's running down so slow, and you're looking at it and you think you get to 90 minutes. And just going back to how the game unfolded for the Atalanta players, PSG's first goal was the killer. You know, as soon as it went to 1-1, I think everyone who was watching that game on TV around the world would have thought, well, PSG will win this in extra time. They've got more about them. They've got more legs. Atalanta have took that punch in the face where they were so close to winning the game 1-0. But we didn't see a sort of a last-minute winner, and that would have been heartbreaking for them.
Frank's back, ladies and gentlemen. What a moment for us all. Frank, what do you do?
He heard everything you said,
I heard what Craig said.
He went off for a little cry.
No. You know that, and English know that we know how to surrender, but we create the resistance underneath, you know?
We can help
the American to kick out the English or the Scottish to kick out the English, but we're always there.
Okay.
We're always there. Now you can cut it off.
Away from our cultural stereotypes. Frank, looking ahead now, PSG through to the semi-finals will face either Leipzig or Atleti, who, of course, play on Thursday. What do you do if you're Tuchel between now and then to try and get this team gelling more? Can you do anything? Or do the players that you welcome back into the team make such a big difference?
Yes, because you had a poor Sarabia and Icardi, you can expect to have Di Maria coming back. Yeah. I don't know where Verratti is going to stand, if he's going to be fit enough. Mbappe is expecting to be lined up as well. So question mark about Marquinhos, and he's been like that for a year or more since Paris Saint-Germain won against Real Madrid with that 4-3-3 and Marquinhos in midfield. So I don't know what Tuchel's going to do, if he's going to put Thiago Silva and Marquinhos at the back with Verratti, Gay and Herrera, or somebody else, maybe Draxler. I don't know who's going to play against Paris Saint-Germain. I think it's going to be different against Atletico Madrid or Leipzig, and the tactically is going to work different. And what will be the mood of Neymar? If Neymar is in a big day, nobody can do anything against Neymar in a big day. So that's resolved many problems. But yeah, lots of thoughts before that game. And don't forget that Navas also, he's maybe injured, so it might be a problem.
Well, clearly, I think if Verratti's fit, he comes back in, doesn't he? And they try and solidify whoever it is they're playing. They try and solidify the middle of the park. Di Maria comes in, and Mbappe comes in from the start. And I think what you could find here is Icardi will go out the side. I don't think there's much of a doubt about that, unless he wants just a natural striker in there. But he didn't look sharp enough. And I think you might see him do something like what Man City did. And, you know, maybe rotate Neymar through the middle with Mbappe and just keep whoever it is on their toes and play with a false nine at times and just have that movement. I think that will be better for PSG than playing with Icardi. And I think we might see a Di Maria, Neymar and Mbappe front three, which is quite mouth-watering, to be fair.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. A lot more from the boys on Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
So PSG through to the semi-finals of this year's Champions League. Atleti or Leipzig will be their opponents. Boys, quick predictions. Let's start with you, Craig.
Atleti, for many reasons. But I mean, even with Timo Werner, I would still have went for Atleti, and clearly he's not there anymore. So I'm going to go for Atleti, who I thought when the restart happened, we saw them play at Barcelona in a 2-2 draw. And it's quite a heavy squad they've got. He's got a bit of armoury in that squad, Diego Simeone. A lot of talent in there, lots of steel, still a big threat in this competition. I'm going for Atleti.
Frank?
Yeah, I agree with Craig. I think they are more experienced, more talent, and Leipzig. It's a big point. They lost Werner, and it's a big loss. So, yeah, like Atalanta today with Paris Saint-Germain, I think they can disturb Atleti, but overall, Madrid has more qualities to go through and face Paris Saint-Germain.
Don?
Oh, it's Atleti all day long. I was desperate to try and go against the boys and say Leipzig, but I can't. You know, when you look across this squad, you see Jan Oblak in goal. You see, you know, Jimenez and Stefan Savic, really, really good defenders, hard work and midfield players. And then depending on who's fit, you know, Jan Felix, Morata, Diego Costa, they've still got brilliant players and a real team ethic that over 90 minutes you don't want to play.
Boys, thank you very much. Of course, we'll be looking back at that game in some detail and looking ahead to Bayern against Barca on the next edition of the show. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. To Florida. Last night, the MLS's back tournament final. Portland Timbers taking on Orlando City. 27 minutes into this one, Mabiala with the breakthrough to give the Timbers a 1-0 lead. But then 10 minutes later, Nani with the ball on the far side, crosses it in, and Pereira just does enough to get it past the keeper to make it 1-1. That's how it stands as we fast forward to the 66th minute. Zupric with the goal that would prove to be decisive in this game. Squeeze it past the defender and the goalkeeper to make it 2-1. Late on, Kyle Smith with the chance, but couldn't find the equaliser. And it's Portland Timbers then, who are your MLS's back tournament winners. Well, to react to what we saw last night, Herc and Casey join me. Casey, best team won?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a pretty evenly matched, I think, throughout. But I think as an ex-goalkeeper, you look and see which goalkeeper was busier. And I think Ayise was busier than Clark. I think Portland took great advantage of set pieces. Obviously, they got their two goals. But, you know, the second goal really came from, you know, a good save, which led to a corner, which then led to another good save, which led to another corner, which eventually they got their go-ahead goal. So, yeah, I thought Portland did a great job of really making things difficult for the attacking group for Orlando. I thought, yeah, Nani was influential on their goal, but I think for the most part was held at bay. I didn't think Mueller was really much of a factor. Akindele wasn't much of a factor. So I thought they really did a good job of limiting Orlando with the opportunities. And like I said, took advantage off of the set piece chances that they created.
On that point, Herc, how much was it that Orlando didn't turn up on the day, or how much was it that Portland contained them?
Portland really frustrated Orlando. Orlando had a flying attack. The last time we saw Orlando this frustrated was opening day of what MLS is back versus Inter Miami. It was a very kind of stalemate game, very just not great on their part. And, well, this is credit to Portland. Portland and the way they play. We knew that they were going to defend first, be compact, and go on the counter. But they really stifled any type of creativity that Orlando could really set up in the final third. Casey already touched on Nani and Chris Mueller and how frustrated they were. Pereira as well. Even the subs who came on, they could never really break down that stingy Portland defense. And listen, Portland has been about defending well and countering and set pieces. Labiala's goal was, you know, the fifth time they scored on a set piece. A league-leading MLS is back fifth time. They really know who they are. They know how to go about their business, whether that's pretty or not, that's another question. But this is a team that's sort of built for these tournament styles, and you have to give Giovanni Savaresi a lot of credit. His first season, he took him to an MLS Cup. His second season, semifinals of a U.S. Open Cup, and now champions of MLS is back.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you make that point, Herc. Obviously, big picture, what does this mean for Portland's chances in the regular season and beyond, looking ahead to MLS Cup, Casey?
Yeah, I think it was touched upon in the broadcast. I think that, you know, this Portland team isn't the youngest team out there. I mean, you think of, you know, Diego Valeri has been, you know, excellent for Portland for so many years, but now he's taking a little bit of a lesser role. You know, Chara as well has been fantastic for Portland for so many years. And, you know, he still covers the ground, but maybe not quite as much as he did in years past. So they're pretty much set up that they need to be successful quickly because they're going to age out in a few very, very key positions. And I think it was great for Portland to be able to, you know, do as well as they did in this tournament. And now it's really a case to see how can they do that long term, you know, going into this new kind of abbreviated regular season, which I think will benefit them as well, because it isn't that long grind, you know, starting in March. And yes, they did a great job in the bubble, and that is a grind in itself. But it's to see how that aged team now can respond for the rest of this year.
Do you agree, Hurt?
I do. And listen, I'm going to go back to Giovanni Salvarez and just really quick, because what he's been able to create here in Portland is something that every manager should take into account. He comes in immediately and he sets a culture, a competitive culture. Immediately he had these moments of friction or of clashing of minds with Liam Ridgewell, the captain of the team, you know, one of the biggest personalities they have in that locker room. Fernando Ari as well. He took him to the side. If you're not with me, you're against me and you're out. And that sets the tone for a competitive nature within that locker room. And you look really down this roster, especially in that final third, the competition there. He's got Sebastian Blanco played at an MVP level. He's got Diego Valeri buying that you're not an everyday out and out 90-minute player to be effective. This speaks volumes. And yes, abbreviated season and whatnot, it'll be, in theory, on paper, easier for Portland, but also easier for the rest. And Portland's coming off an emotional high, but also a physical toll, and going immediately into a situation where they now have to play every 4 days, that could take its toll as well.
Casey, overall, the tournament worked, didn't it?
Yeah, very much so. I think you have to give MLS a lot of credit. I think it, you know, when we saw what happened with Dallas and Nashville at the beginning, I think there were some question marks on you know, was this thing going to happen or not? Or was it going to kind of implode from the inside? And I think give everybody a lot of credit within the bubble, within, you know, the Disney complex, the teams themselves, the testing, everything that they did to ensure that that it came off, and it came off very successfully. And I think now we're, you know, excited to see teams get back to their home stadiums. Now, what will that look like? I think we're seeing that, you know, some states, some cities will be able to have some limited fans in. Some obviously won't be able to. But I think give this MLS-backed tournament the credit that's due. And, you know, there was a lot of question marks going in, both from, you know, the team side, from the media side, and they pulled it off.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Well, you both mentioned, of course, the regular season kicking off. We have got you covered on ESPN Plus, a plethora of games coming up over the next few days.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. I know what you're thinking. I really want to hear more from Frank Don, and especially Craig. Fear not then. Extra Time is next. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. A lot of them, inevitably, about today's game, which we covered on the show, but we have chosen some more to talk about. Craig, Frank and Don with us. Don, was it naive of Atalanta not just to park the bus and defend deep for the last 10 minutes?
I think they tried to, Dan. I think there was nothing left in their legs, and I think they adopted that attitude. Why would you try and score the second goal when you're protecting a 1-0 lead? You know, I was watching the players, they were out on their feet, they were absolutely shattered, they were looking at the clock and they were thinking, we can get the job done. It's only in hindsight where you lose a couple of late goals, you then start to question, should the manager have changed his approach? I don't think he should. I think it was nearly absolutely spot on.
Frank?
Yeah, nothing much to add. I think they done everything they could. They were, I think, really tired, and they knew that they couldn't attack anymore because of the threat of Mbappe coming in the last 25 minutes, and you know the pace of his runs and the capability of killing you on 20 yards. So on top of it, you have Neymar also can be fast. So you have to drop is subconsciously what you do because you want to protect your goal. But, you know, it didn't work. But that's some, you know, years ago, decades ago, in Italy, it used to work.
Craig, everyone talks about Atalanta playing free-flowing, attacking football and all that, but weren't they more dirty than Simeone's Atleti?
What?
No.
Didn't see that.
No, of course not. Lots of yellow cards.
Yeah, but I thought the way the game started, they should have been 1-0 up. Papu Gomez had a chance. Jim City, as Craig said earlier, he had a chance at the far post. They were creating chances for fun. You know, I think I tweeted after 6 minutes of the game, it could be 1-1. And I didn't see
a dirty tweet.
Sign.
What a tweet that was, Don. I'm sure that's brilliant.
I see
a sign that's competitive. What do you want them to do? What do you want us professionals to do? Stand off someone like Neymar and stand off someone like Mbappe and go, have the ball, go and show us all your tricks, and why don't you just skin me while you're there? You've got to put your foot in. There's more ways to try and beat your opponent, and everyone thinks about the game being 11v11. Ultimately, it's 1v1, and I thought Deron, I thought, was unbelievable in that midfield for Atalanta. He was making tackles for fun.
Can't you play free-flowing football and be aggressive?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Champions League quarter-final. Look at Real Madrid City that we talked about, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
One yellow card for Modric, 80th minute. Never got close to making a tackle. It's a physical game, isn't it? I mean, goodness me, some of these players, it wasn't a dirty game. The fouls were little cynical fouls and stuff like that. It's not like how it used to be when players were getting clattered left, right and centre. So clearly, even the people watching it have gone soft.
Has anyone on the crew ever lost a game in the final minutes like Atalanta? How do you cope after that? I imagine you all have, haven't you, at some stage in your career?
Of course we have.
How do you cope with it, Craig?
What do you mean, how do I cope with it?
Oh,
you bloody get on with it, man. What do you mean, how do I cope with it?
Well, because
I go home and I lock myself in the house for 6 months and I cry like a big baby. What do you mean, how do you cope with it? I mean, bloody locked up in jail for 6 months. Lost a late goal. It happens. Sport. Right? You deal with it. You move on. How do you cope with it? Oh, you go home and you just cry. Another softy.
Another softy. I'm not sure when anyone said that. Frank, how did you cope?
Ah, your family are missing. Oh, we don't know where they are. This is terrible. How do you cope? Oh, it's terrible. Oh, you lost a goal in the last minute. How do you cope?
Where's your family gone?
Well, I'm just
I don't know if I can answer.
These things are serious.
I don't know if I can
answer. Losing a goal in the last minute. How do you cope with it?
Oh, dear.
Good grief.
I don't know if I can answer to anything after what Craig said, you know. Well, you know, I didn't sleep for one night when I lost a game like that. But after you carry on because you have many other games.
Oh, the fireworks are back.
Hey. The fireworks is here. Look at that. It's beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. There we go.
Look at that.
He's got a remote control. He's got remote control.
I'm saying that.
Yes,
honestly.
I do it on purpose. Well, yes, it's back, you know.
That's
technology.
That backdrop's hopeless.
Ah, it's not. You're just jealous.
No, I prefer the dark one. That's what's wrong with us. We want We want boring. We want a boring backdrop behind Frank. It's much better when it's black and the fireworks are coming out and you can see that big dome he has.
Right.
What's wrong with people?
Says the man there with a brick wall behind him.
Right, there you go.
It's not a brick wall. Oh, yes, it's a brick wall. I think you'll find. Don, that's a fireplace.
Don.
Oh, my days. You've got him going there, Dan, with that question. Imagine what you would be like if you drained a 12-footer on the last hole. You'd be fuming.
Frank,
how do you cope with that?
Let's get back to the question. You said you didn't sleep for one night. What happened? Why?
Yeah.
Well, he never slept and then he woke up the next day. What a stupid question is that?
Why is it a stupid question? Shut up. Just because you don't have a heart or feelings or emotions.
Frank said he never slept for one night. And you said, what happened? Well, he never slept for a night. He was tired in the morning. He woke up and he went to sleep the next night.
Face the brick wall. That'd be much better for all of us.
You know, can you cut off the microphone?
Yes.
We can do something, you know, we can talk.
Listen, I want to go as much as anybody. I've got to go.
Let him talk then. That's it.
Put up a question about predictions and I'll go.
There's no prediction questions. Right.
Do it.
By the way, Craig, did you pick up the dog that you should pick up yesterday or you didn't? Because if you didn't, just go.
No, don't distract him, Frank. Right.
Frank, I don't have a dog.
What did you do that was so... Oh, dear.
Don't have a dog. I was going to golf.
Okay.
Okay. Coming back to the question, it's like when you miss a penalty or you lose the last minute, you always think about and you do a retrospective about the game and what you did during the game. You say, how come it happened? Why we couldn't stick together and work hard together to save the point or to save a win? And you wonder because you, of course, you don't have the answer and you know that you did something bad in a way that you had maybe a minute to hold on and work hard and it didn't happen. So you feel stupid. So it's why you don't understand why you have that feeling inside you.
Don?
I think the worst thing is how long it takes to actually get rid of. I think when you score a last minute winner, it's the elation's there and the elation's in the dressing room afterwards. And maybe when you're going to train the next morning, there's still part of a little bit of joy in the dressing room, but then you sort of forget about that because you're prepping for the next game. But when you lose one in the last minute, you know, if you're not mentally strong, that can linger for a few days. Howard Kendall was the best manager I played under. And he always said on a Saturday after a loss, whether it be in 90 minutes or the last minute, don't come in on a Monday morning moping around the place with a sad face on. Whatever happens at the weekend is completely gone and we focus on the next game.
Next question.
What if you've got a sad face in general and you're not moping around?
Yeah.
Well, that's just the way you look.
Well, I mean, you know about that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Me and Frank are all right.
I'm good.
I'm all right, Jack. You know, some people can't help coming to work with a sad face. That's discriminating against people with sad faces.
Yes. Yeah.
Quick, get the prediction question up. Get it up.
It's called the Mark Ogden effect, I believe. Right. Yeah. Time to end two-legged ties. What do you think, Craig?
I don't know. Don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it's exciting, but I think 180 minutes is a fairer reflection of two teams. So I don't think so.
Frank?
I don't understand the question. So, can you say it in English?
So no more home and away, just one-off matches in the knockout stages of the Champions League.
No. We talked about that yesterday. I think it's the beauty of that competition. I don't like the group stages, but I like the home and away game and the two ties, the two legs, and see how they can react because you have the. We talked about the suspense here yesterday, and I don't want to change that. I think it's it would change too much the competition.
Well, I tell you what, Dan, I wouldn't mind the two legs in the quarterfinals, but I wouldn't be against the semi-final and obviously the finals one leg. I wouldn't be against the semi-final being one leg, but clearly then both the semis and the final have to go to neutral venues. That's the difference.
That's not difficult.
No, if it was just two games, the semi and the final. I think that could work, but I would keep it as it is up until that point.
So are you saying it wouldn't be diminished then?
Semi-diminished.
Don, even though they're Premier League champions, does the panel think...
No, I would say it'd been changed. Changed. Because once they change it, that's the format they've changed to, so it is now not diminished.
For a man who wants to finish this early, you ought to have dragged it out.
He's had a coffee tonight and he's buzzing.
I'm here on my own with a dog that I don't have.
Yeah. Even though they're Premier League champions, Don, does the panel think Liverpool need to revamp their squad and maybe sign a guy like Dele Alli, knowing Jose doesn't like him and he would be a good replacement for Wijnaldum?
No, I think the talk and probably the question there is about Gini Wijnaldum, because he's got 12 months left on his contract and Liverpool haven't offered him a contract or haven't started negotiations. I don't see Dele Alli being a fit for Liverpool. I think the kid's a fantastic player, but he's not had a great 18 months. I think he needs to get his Tottenham career up and running before he even thinks about moving to a club that's on a different level to Tottenham and Liverpool. If I was Jurgen Klopp, and I'm pretty sure he'd be having the conversation with his board that they need someone like Gini Wijnaldum. You know, they're going to look at other midfield players. If Thiago comes in, you know, he's an excellent holding midfield player, a quarterback player, if you like, but he's the only one, because Naby Keita is a little bit different, but he's the one that goes forward and goes box to box. Very easy, Gini. I think he's very underrated.
Final question. Well, it's not a question, but I thought you'd like to know that I was on a pretty intense business call and referred to someone who I thought was way off base as being in cloud cuckoo land. The call went dead silent and someone finally responded with, "What the hell did you just say?" Craig, you're spreading your dialect across the nation.
What, cloud cuckoo land?
Yeah, that's one of yours.
Well, it's not something new.
Well, to America it is.
Well, we broadcast around the globe, Daniel. I don't differentiate dialect for America.
Okay, I don't think this was a criticism of you. I think it was just a nice story.
No, I'm just saying that's cloud cuckoo land is something that people say in the UK. Some people.
Have you heard that expression before, Frank?
Of course not. But I don't understand Craig when he speaks.
Well, lucky you. French, yeah. Lucky you, Frank. Yeah. That is it.
I tell you what, that sums you up, Dan.
Sums me
that
up.
That sums up your performance tonight. I say, that's a terminology that's used in the UK, and you go straight to a Frenchman in Paris.
That's a terrible tweet to finish on that. Horrendous to finish on that.
Well, yeah. it was your boss who chose that tweet, Don, so good luck with that.
Who did?
There you go.
Who did?
Your boss.
The big boss.
The boss man chose it. Great decision to pull that one.
That's it.
Fantastic decision.
In fact, to be honest with you, I don't know why we've got people in the room that don't know why the boss is poking his nose in anyway.
Well, because they're not responsible enough to choose the tweets, I don't think. You've met them.
Does he not want to give the responsibility to the other people in the production and give him the trust that he's sitting in his house poking his nose in and sending in guff like this?
Ah, that's good. No, I am not saying
What's wrong with you today? What's wrong?
What do you mean today?
What's wrong with me today? What happened in your life? You want to hammer everybody, even your boss.
I tell you what's happened, Frank. You tipped Atalanta to win tonight. PSG.
That's what it is.
Not at all.
He's
upset.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I couldn't give a stuff about predictions.
Imagine if Atalanta won. I told you all yesterday they were going to do it. You all said PSG.
Bragging.
His trumpet. And now he's just shouting at everybody.
Not at all. I wouldn't do it. I never do that.
Oh, lovely trumpet playing. That's a lot of...
What was that, Frank? A whistle?
That's a lot of buttons to be pressing, though.
I've got a supermarket to go to, do you mind?
Oh, what are you going to buy, Craig? Anything nice?
Well, supermarket food. I mean, how thick are you? What I'm going to buy? I'm going to buy a horse.
He's on fire.
Are you selling any hippopotamuses in this supermarket?
I'm hanging up.
He's off to buy a hippopotamus. Right, should we do it for real now?
I'll tell you.
Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets.
Yay! Yeah, we made it.
All right, boys, see you later. We'll be back tomorrow for more.